Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, I don't think our man Rich certainly hears anything, so it's going to be the Ken Laird Show until we get Rich hooked up and ready to rock, ready to go. I'll tell you this, though. Do you believe? Do you believe in the roster? Do you believe in the Red Sox? The winning streak is six. And, man, are they hot. This is the first time, according to @SoxNotes on Twitter, the Red Sox have begun a road trip 6-0 since 2022, have not started a road trip 7-0 or better since 2016. They get Patrick Sandoval back. Patrick Sandoval was a forgotten man. They spent $18 million to sign this guy for 2 years back in December of 2024. And he missed all of 2025 with Tommy John. I guess that was sort of expected, but he's back, and today he doesn't get the win, but still, 4 1/3, 1 earned, 5 hits, 5 strikeouts. Good enough with the bullpen, the plan A bullpen, which now includes Tyron Guerrero. Guerrero, Whitlock, Slayton, and Chapman to get it done. And Sandoval, as we welcome Rich certainly been.
Ken, are you ready for a Red Sox pants off dance off?
That's what I'm setting up for you, buddy. I mean,
ladies,
it's unbelievable.
This is just, you know what? Let's go ahead and get to it, Stiz. Let's find out what happened. We all know that sports happen, and it just happened right in our face. Let's let it roll.
What
there,
just
Stiz.
Happened?
Sports happen.
Oh, yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. In the words of Leonardo DiCaprio in Django Unchained, Red Sox, you had my curiosity. Now you have my attention. Play the clip there, Stiz.
Throws, Durbin. Swings and drives one high and deep into left field. At the track. At the wall. See ya later. Durbin goes deep. You are an insane person. Your Mafre feeling pays off again, and it is 2-0 Red Sox.
Well, you know, at some point you're going to stop being surprised because it's just it's like the sunrise. It comes up every day.
Yes, it does, and that was your Nissan play of the game. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. A perfect road trip and a sweep of one of the best teams in baseball as the Sox beat the White Sox 2-1, sweeping their second series in a row. And, gentlemen, it is time.
You want to hear it again?
Why not? I'm tweaking.
Will Kano.
But it's time to start paying attention to this team. This team is 11 of 13 going back to that Yankee series. The White Sox, and that's the thing about this, about how great this series win was and how you can feel good about it, is because the Sox had won 10 series in a row at home.
Yeah, unbeatable
and,
home.
Oh, my! I mean, they were honestly one of the hottest teams in baseball.
I think they were 24-6 at home before this started.
Unbelievable. And a team that was absolute trash 2 weeks ago just kicked they ass. And how about Caleb Durbin? Jackson, do me a favor, Jackson, if you don't mind. I want you to find out what Caleb's batting average before seeing our batting coach friend Lorenzo over there in Arlington. Because since then, Caleb has been one of the better hitters in the game. And you know who's loving this, too? And it was great listening to it because, I mean, it's, as I said, you know, it's been so painful for these guys. But our own Will Fleming, as a matter of fact, I just saw a tweet that Jared Carrabas put out that said, quote, if you listen back to the final out of the radio broadcast, you can hear Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks high-fiving. I did not think I'd say these words this year, but the Sox are rolling. I have to hear this for myself because I didn't hear it at the time. Stiz, do you happen to have the final play? Can we see if you can hear them high five? Okay, let that roll, Stiz.
0-2. Here's the pitch. Swinging a high fly into left field. Coming on, Duran. Out goes Durbin. Jaron is there. He makes the play. The Red Sox have swept the White Sox. Chapman closes it down. Sandoval returns. Durbin homers. The Red Sox going into the break 6-0.
Okay, you know what we have to compare? By the way, that was great. You know what we have to compare that to? I remember when the Sox were, I don't want to say at their very bottom, it was when they were heading towards the bottom. There was a game where I don't know who the Sox were playing, but some guy just jacked it. And you could hear under his breath Will Middlebrooks go, "Jesus Christ."
Oh, yeah. I remember. That was great.
So we've gone from Will Middlebrooks under his breath saying that to them actually high-fiving in the booth, and I just, after this series, this team has truly earned your attention. I mean, could they lose 8 of the next 10? Sure.
But after, don't say that.
I mean, but what I'm saying is that after 3 recent sweeps, including 2 of the best teams in baseball, you're at least watching a team that had absolutely every reason to throw in the towel, but just has not given up. And I believe today was the day where I was watching them and going, all right, now you're making things interesting, and now this is becoming, if not must-see television, something that you need to keep an eye on. Whereas, to be quite honest, it's very easy to dismiss a team and just, like, you know, like, who cares when you come home at night? You'd rather watch, you know, some, you know, Widow's Bay or something like that. But now the Red Sox are earning your trust back, that they are going to at least give you a quality product.
There's a high drive to deep right field.
That's it.
Even the Yankees sweep at home. The Yankees don't have Judge. They don't have Stanton. It was like, okay, it was pretty good, but you got to prove it. Then, you know, the sweep of the Angels. The Angels stink. Everybody knows that. One of the worst teams in baseball over the last decade. Worst franchises. But this is an attention getter. I mean, not only because of Jake Bennett's 7 shutout and Sandoval today, who's off the scrap heap, but you're right. It does. You can't say with a straight face you believe in the roster, can you? Like,
no.
The lineup is not really something to believe in. However, there are guys that are sort of contributing in weird ways, bunts, and, like, they're getting contributions everywhere. Enough for you to say the AL East, the AL, there's nobody really that you fear in the American League. That's what Bradford said yesterday. And do you want them to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? If you had to decide today, it would be buyers, right?
Yes, right. Well, Today? No. I still think that you've got to stay the course. They're so far behind that I don't
They're not so far behind.
But they are. I mean, they're how many teams are ahead of them?
They're 2.5 out of the wild card. There are only 4 teams to jump. And basically, if you compare this to a year ago, it's kind of a similar vibe. I mean, they finished hot at the All-Star break last year. A year ago at this time, they were 48-45. Okay?
Yeah.
So right now, you're 43-48. It's not that different. You have winning 11 of 13 has flipped the script.
I guess the problem is that there's so many teams that are, I don't know, there's so many teams that are still in it that, you know, actually buying is going to be tough.
Not a massive buy, but you're certainly not selling. I mean, there's an article from Rosenthal out today that Sonny Gray, the Braves are interested, and, you know, the Red Sox aren't sure what they're going to do, but they could get a haul for him. And forget about the haul. I'm off the haul. I am keeping Sonny Gray. Can you imagine trading Sonny Gray right now? What a message that would send to your fans?
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, because now you're at a point where you gotta reconsider things. Because here's what I think that management's going to be doing. And it's not a bad philosophy going into this trade deadline with the way that these guys are playing, is that maybe we don't make any kind of massive deal, because we know that we are going to get guys like Roman Anthony and hopefully Garrett Crochet back.
Hopefully Roman Anthony and hopefully Garrett Crochet.
I know. By the way, we got to talk about the Roman Anthony thing in a minute. But first, let's at least, you know, smoke a cigarette in bed for a minute. Line one, let's go to Andrew in Sudbury. How's it going, Andrew? Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going? I mean, like, with how well the Sox have been playing and how open the American League is, I think you can justify going both ways. But where I get a little worried is, you know, the reports are that Chapman's definitely out the door and, you know, Sonny Gray. Like, I think I just don't want to get caught in the middle. Like, I want to pick a direction, like either full sell or try to make a push, because I do think we are, you know, I mean, Garrett Crochet will be back, Roman Anthony. I think you're one bat away from, you know, really making a push in the AL, but I just don't know if I trust Breslow to you know, pick a direction. And I would love to hear your guys' thoughts.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the call. I mean, the one thing you can say right now is that Durbin is the guy you thought he was going to be. He's finally become that guy.
You want the numbers? I looked it up, by the way.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Since Lorenzo got his hand on him. So he was, I don't know if this is the exact date, but he bottomed out at 163 batting average on May 24th. And I think that's about the time, you know, it's almost 2 months now that he went to see Lorenzo. Since then, he is hitting 294.
Jeez, man.
Numbers don't lie.
With 7 dingers and 10 doubles. He has 9 home runs. There was a point this year late he had no home runs. I think it was like mid-May or something like that. Here we are almost to mid-July. He's got 9 home runs.
If you are the Red Sox, I don't know why you're not breaking down Lorenzo's door and saying, work for us. Like, I mean, whatever magic you've done to Durbin, I mean, heck, Mookie Betts used the guy. And he's just a dude. And, you know, I think that, Stiz, you might have said this. He's like the Rick Rubin of baseball, of hitting coaches, because he can't actually do it. He doesn't really play, but he's just studied it enough to where he knows exactly what works. And he's kind of almost even more of a therapist than a technical coach from what at least he was saying. I'd like to kind of reconnect with him tomorrow because, I mean, it's truly amazing what's happened to Caleb Durbin since then. But it's not just him. You've got, like, Contreras. And, by the way, that win today was without Contreras because he started
his
5-game suspension. So that's
nice.
They
had a guy named Brett Harrison in the lineup. Do you even know who he is? I mean,
No. I'm not even going to pretend.
Who was Brett Harris? He played with the Athletics a couple years. You traded for him somehow. He hit a grand slam for the Woo Sox yesterday. He's up here playing first base. You win a game with him in the lineup. Remember, at one point this year, we were mocking the team, as everybody was, and it was like, this team's never going to win 3 games in a row. I didn't believe they could win 3 games in a row with this offense. Here they are. They've ripped off 5. They have 6, right? 6 in a row.
Yep.
And they had a 5-game winning streak just before this. So it's kind of mind-boggling, to be honest.
Yeah, they have finally, with this series sweep, they have earned your attention. Now they're a team that you take seriously. You put them on over anything else that's on TV. Because it happens. It happened about maybe 3 weeks ago where I was just like, you know what, this team, it's not even worth caring about. It almost becomes like a burden to have to watch these games. And now you're at a point where, like, there's probably a better chance that they win than they don't. And at least you're going to see something interesting, right? And the best part of it, and you know what, Chad Tracy's going to get a lot of fans out of this. Because this was a team, as I was mentioning earlier, that had every reason to mentally check out. They had every single excuse for just not trying, for fighting internally, to just, you know, turning on each other. And they didn't. Mm-hmm. And now they're playing their asses off. They seem to be playing for each other. And I'm telling you, you got to point at the manager. You got to look at Chad Tracy and say, you know what? You don't have the best tools to work with right now, but we all agree that this team is playing better now than they ever did when they had, not ever, but this season, that when Alex Cora was the manager.
They definitely, and I know, so Breslow was on this morning and they asked him a lot of things. One was about drive line and like, what's the difference since you fired the drive line guy? He took kind of exception to that. He's like, no, we're not the drive line team, we're the Red Sox. But I think there is a connection. And I give Tracy credit for that. He's got to be involved somehow. Or Lorenzo. I don't know. Take your pick. But their approach at the plate is so different. Remember when Ted was mocking them for not taking a walk? Like they never walked. They went like a week without taking a walk. Now they are working counts. They're getting starters out. Even today they weren't, you know, special. They scored 2 runs on 4 hits today. But, and you know, the bigger story probably in the last 2 days is Breslow, because he traded for Jake Bennett, who was great yesterday. And he acquired Sandoval on a pipe dream 2 years ago. And here he is in a pinch, and he paid off, so Breslow's looking better. But you're right. When it comes to Tracy, I think there's an approach at the plate that he's got to be given credit for and just kind of a calming presence, I guess.
And there's also a lot of smart baseball being done recently. Like, I mean, even Caleb Durbin. Yep. So that at-bat where he hit the 2-run homer, I don't know if you remember, at the beginning of it, he did like a check swing bunt. And so originally that was the plan, and then he got a pitch that he loved, and he went out of the way for it. He was looking for this pitch. I heard Middlebrooks even say that. Like, he almost scooped it up. He golfed it, but it was a very smart at-bat, and I'm not used to seeing this with this team.
Yep.
And I just think that you're one of the first people you've got to give credit for. And you know, you can tell, too, when we interview him every week, and you can tell that Chad Tracy is impressive and that throughout everything. Even, you know, when the Jaren Durant stuff was going on, mm-hmm. he sticks up for his guys. And it
his
seems
toughest
like
the test was really your four question barrage about Durant fighting with the crowd. I mean,
yeah,
maybe his finest moment so far.
Maybe, but I mean, he was as much as I didn't think it was the best answer that he gave. I know why he did it, because he was looking out for his guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Well, here's one other thing. He, you know, I do the WooSox games, a couple of them here and there. I'm a voice of the WooSox.
Yes.
And so that's where Chad Tracy was. And how many of those guys that does he know intimately that he's brought up, believed in, and played? Even like Sungjae Chang yesterday, but Tyron Guerrero first and foremost. Like, he put him in some high leverage roles at the back of the bullpen because he was his closer in Worcester, and I think maybe sneaky more so than Cora, he was just built to manage this team.
Pelota, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Voice of the WooSox.
Thank
by the way, we'll take your call. 617-779-7937. Okay. There's also another thing that I'm starting to like about Chad Tracy. And I want to get your take on this because I'm giving Chad Tracy credit for this, and I just want to find out whether you and I are on the same page. So Breslow this morning was on with the Craig Hill Show, and by the way, how much better does he probably feel coming out of the air after
all this? Oh my God, he's like cracking jokes. He's like he's walking light. Bresbot is like he's slinging one liners. He's like Dale Ordway on the open mic night. I mean, it's crazy.
All right, so let's hear, if you don't mind, Stiz, if you happen to have it. He was asked about Roman Anthony. And the never-ending hand pain that, you know, it seems like he has had for a while now. Once again, this was like a simple like update question, and let's hear what.
Do you want the whole
Craig
thing,
Breslow?
Rich? The whole kind of this. It's two questions. Mego starts it off with a quick Roman update, and then Greg asks the follow up.
Dude, I'll let you play.
Start at the beginning, just for a little context.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
I know there's going to be more questions about Roman Anthony, but there was a report out that he was scheduled to see a hand specialist in Atlanta. I think that was Dr. Gary Laurie. Has he had...
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
At that appointment, is that still on the table?
Yeah, so he actually, he did have that appointment, and Dr. Laurie kind of confirmed the diagnosis and treatment plans that our doctors had identified that Roman's been on. Unfortunately, this is just an injury that's taking longer than expected to heal. But by all accounts, it sounds like we're on the right track.
Chad Tracy said that Roman Anthony is heading to Florida to get away from the madness. Some suggestion out there that the organization may be frustrated with him being out and about and that this is a wake-up call. Can you... give us a little bit of the inside on that.
Sure. And I'm glad that you asked me so that I can address this. Roman is in Florida to continue with his treatment. You know, we're constantly trying to balance what is best for Roman with what is best for the 26 guys who, you know, are trying to get ready for a game. And unfortunately, the number of players on the IL has grown, but the size of the training room at Fenway Park has not. And we just kind of decided that, number one, it made sense for Roman to see another hand specialist in Atlanta, and then from there, continue with the rehab from Fort Myers, where we've got, you know, all of the resources and everything that we need. But the notion that this is like somehow punitive or that we're, I don't know, trying to keep Roman from eating dinner is pretty ridiculous.
Okay, I didn't hear this.
It's so good.
That's garbage.
Like, well, that's, of course, the size of the training room. Like, what are we talking about?
You're the effing Red Sox.
He's Roman Anthony. There's no room for him in the training room?
He's literally your biggest star.
Right.
And you're saying there's no room for Roman Anthony? You're the effing Boston Red Sox, and there's no room for him? That's trash.
Of course.
My God, Breslow, come on, man. Why is it that you start going in one direction? You can't not shoot yourself in the foot.
Well,
like, I kind of want to start rooting for you, and you pull crap like that?
But later, Greg asks him, is surgery a possibility? And he says no, and he says, because there's not anything a surgeon could do, which to me is even more revealing that this guy, they think this guy should have been healthy a month ago. They're baffled. They marooned him on purpose, like Khan in Star Trek. You know, they put him on a on a planet and said, go to Florida, get out of our face, and get serious. Wake up.
Listen, okay, I want you to hear something, because this is one thing that I heard. And as I said, Sean McAdam is a great reporter, and so is Chris Cotillo. And the two of them were doing a podcast together, and they were talking about the Roman Anthony situation. And this is interesting. Let's take a listen. This is Sean McAdam, Chris Cotillo, two very connected reporters with the Red Sox, on what they think's going on with this whole Roman Anthony situation. Let it roll.
Conspiracy city across a lot of things. Roman Anthony's going to Florida in the dead of the summer, and he's getting checked out by another hand specialist on his way down there, and then he's going to rehab in Fort Myers away from the team. And, you know, there's a lot of people that you talk to, just you know, like people, friends and relatives and fans and radio hosts, heard in the last 2 days, this is a punishment. This is about getting him out of Boston to solely focus on the rehab. I thought Chad Tracy's quotes kind of day-to-day change, and I thought they were a little interesting. They want to keep him out of the madness. My guess is that there is a little bit of a wake-up call undercurrent to this. I don't know why. I don't know exactly why, but there's just it's just a weird step to take. Especially with position player, you know, he's been working out at Fenway, playing balls off the wall every day. You know, Marcelo Meyer, obviously his best friend is hurt and kind of going through the rehab and stuff. I don't believe in the conspiracy theories usually. And you just touched on that, but I just feel like this is kind of an intentional move being made that we might never get to the bottom of. And it's just an interesting, weird thing that's happening.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think there is an underlying message here that kind of like, okay, you're not ready. You haven't made a lot of progress. Let's change the atmosphere up a little bit and see how you like Fort Myers in the middle of July.
Oh, I mean, that's okay. That clip on top of what Breslow said, first of all, I mean, it sounds punitive. It sounds like,
yes.
Here's what it sounds like. If you're Chad Tracy, you're looking around and you're seeing that this team has not given up. You're seeing a bunch of guys that have dug deep and have done something to bury the noise and to somehow ignore just how bad the team has been playing and try to get out there and do what they've been doing for the last, like, week and a half. And I think that Roman Anthony is moping around. I think that there is an impression that some players may have, because it's definitely an impression that's out there within the fans, mm-hmm. that this sounds like it's like a pain tolerance type of deal. And I know that that's something that has been mentioned before. It sounds like he doesn't need surgery, according to you.
They said he didn't have a tear. I mean, remember that whole thing? I mean,
yes.
It's obvious they feel like this is a pain tolerance, and he's not tolerating the pain, and he should be.
And for them to send him away almost says to me, I don't want this type of attitude right now around a team that's digging deep
right.
and trying to do everything to win. And
correct.
That sounds to me like that is... like, that's something the manager would do.
And
that's
the players, how many players have said in the last couple of days how good the vibes are, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. And to me, it sounds like, hey, Roman, don't kill our vibes. Like, we've got something good going on here, and it sounds punitive. And that answer, God, that answer that Breslow gave is awful. Where I'm saying there's not enough room in the training room Roman Anthony?
I know he's lying. It's an obvious lie. That's kind of funny.
Right, but he's lying because the real answer is embarrassing, and that is they don't want him there right now because I think that they are happy with the attitude that this team has right now, and I think it sounds like there is a belief that he might not be doing everything. He might not have the can-do attitude that the rest of these guys have.
Well, Rich,
so they're getting him out of there.
Think about how many close losses they had. I mean, they're playing hot now, but they lost two-run games to the Rockies. They lost close games to Toronto and Tampa. If you had Roman Anthony in the lineup, that might have made a difference. You could be legitimately a wild card team right now.
So it's
important. I know at the time you were saying, this team's so bad, I get it, why he doesn't want to come back. But they probably are looking at it the other way. Like, if you were here, we'd be in the mix sooner.
So to your point, there's two things about this whole situation. One is a good thing and one is a bad thing. The good thing is, I think this makes Tracy look really good. I think that he's a guy
definitely.
Who's like, I don't care how big a star you are. I don't need this right now. I've got these guys who are playing their ass off, and we don't need any kind of thing to bring us down. So you go down to Florida, you take care of yourself, come back when you're ready. But the other part of it that makes me upset is your biggest star, we may have a dog in it issue with your biggest star.
Absolutely. I think he's on the trade block, to be honest. I mean, how can he not be? If you have that kind of question about his character and his heart, aren't you thinking about, you know, making a flip? I mean, they could be sort of buyers and sellers at the deadline in that sense. It may be Meyer, too.
Yep. Because you don't do that. You don't send a guy away from the team. Now, I know they said there's not enough room in the training room for the Red Sox for their biggest star, but you don't do that unless you feel that you don't want him around for one reason or another. You don't want him around the players for one reason or another. Let's go to Tim on line one. What's happening, Tim? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Tim. Tim.
Tim, what's up, bud?
Hello, Tim.
Hello. All right. Well, all right. Tim is not there. Oh, yeah, there you go, Tim.
Call back, Tim.
Okay. All right. Well, I do like what I'm seeing out of Tracy. I think that you got to start giving the manager some credit for what's going on here.
And are you ready to give Breslow a little credit? I mean, he has pieced together. I mean, certainly the pitching has been good. The defense, obviously, was something they focused on. Two big catches today, Duran and Rafaela. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, the Rafaela one was awesome. That was great.
Both great.
That was great.
In a 2-1 game, you need all that. So this is what he preached, pitching and defense. And it's finally coming around, you know, for him. It doesn't take him off the hook for not getting... Because I think we can all agree this lineup is not going to win you much in a playoff series, I think. I mean, unless the AL is really that bad. But you got to score more than one run in a one or two runs in a playoff game. But pitching and defense, Breslow has been correct about. And I think we do have Tim back on.
All right, 617-779-7937. Tim, what's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Tim.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. I muted my phone. Hey, what, by accident. All right, here's the deal. They're far from being back. I like what's going on. Cora was a great coach, and he also was friends with Tracy and his dad. So let me tell you, Cora, I know, is talking to him when he did talk to him, or still is maybe, and he's putting a good thing for him because Tracy was thrown into a six-alarm fire,
yep,
and he looked like he was going to go out the door with everybody else as the way it went. But I hope these guys come back. He's a great coach. He's going to do good, and let's see what happens, man. But they still got their work cut out for him. I hope they do well.
Absolutely, Tim. Great call. And you're right. I mean, think about the situation Tracy was thrown into. We talked to him about that, too. And he's also a guy that has not been giving any kind of insurance as to what his job security is. I mean, he's sitting there every day just playing for his life. You know, like
Where is he still staying at the hotel? They got him at, like, the the Verb or whatever it is next door.
That's right. He's over at the Verb, like, hanging out in one of those trailers in the back. I just think that you have to start looking at the manager and giving him the credit for what this team has done. Let's go to Rich in Salem on line two. Rich, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Brothers, as far as Anthony, Meyer, and Casas, can they please remove all three of these guys? These three guys, this is pathetic, honestly, with these three dudes. Man shows me nothing. From what I've seen of Siegel, he's a gamer. I don't even want to see Meyer again. If they can get anything for him at the trade line, get him out of here. I don't see where all the stout, how great this dude was. He could care less about what's going on. Honestly, he looks like he don't have a care in the world. And his aunt Anthony, that's sickening. This has been on for months. And this goes back to last season. He has that missed those last couple months of the season. These guys have had nagging injuries since they've come up and decided through the Sox system. Get them both out of here. Honestly, they don't need either one of these guys.
So, Rich, that's a great call. You know, the one thing I'll say about Roman Anthony is that, you know, there was suspicion that maybe Roman wasn't, you know, being as, I mean, when we heard the story about how, you know, he's out there like high-fiving guys or something, like shaking hands with his like injured hand. I'm like, what are we doing here? But that was also something that, you know, wasn't very fair. You're like, who knows what's going on with his hand? Who knows whether or not he's doing everything he can to get it ready? But what they just said, what Breslow just said and what they just did tells me everything.
Right. Wake up call, message.
Right. They sent him away from the team, and according to Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam, who are very close to the team, they believe that they think that it seems like the way they talked about it, that it was punitive. It was like, oh, yeah, so you're going to hang out here? You know what? Why don't you go – let's try a change of scenery and see how quickly you want to come back.
And C's right about Siegler. Don't you love Siegler? I mean,
I do. I like what I've seen. There's no reason not to like him.
He's not an amazing ball player, but he's just his character and his will and his enthusiasm. It's like Contreras. It does transcend things a little bit.
I love these calls. Let's go to Rich on line 4. What's happening, Rich? How you doing, buddy?
I think maybe that line is it 2 or 3. Maybe
line 2. I got someone wrote down line 4. So, Rich, what's happening?
I think this is Rich. Whoever it is on line 2, we took you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we
got you. What's up, bud?
What's your name?
Oh, okay, yes, hi. About Chad Tracy, because I had a couple of thoughts from over the last 2 weeks of two situations that I think were really his demeanor really had, you know, was kind of understated and really helpful. One is the first game against the Yankees at home, when they got back in, remember, 6 a.m. in the morning, they had lost. They had had two devastating losses to Colorado, and nobody really expected them to do much that day.
They were going up against Schlittler, yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, again, I think you got to give the manager some kudos on that. And the other was just, you know, after the two bad losses to the Nationals, you know, the first game out in L.A. Again, you know, is L.A. a good team? No, but still. So I agree, Rich. I agree a lot with what you're saying. I think he's done a great job. I think they should make him the permanent manager for this year, at least for this year.
Well, you know what? Let's see. I mean, if things continue in this direction, you absolutely have to. Because, I mean, what he's doing right now is impressive. I'm going to say it over and over again because I'm truly mesmerized by it. And today was the day it really hit me, is that these guys could have given up, and they had every reason to give up. Every reason. You've seen it happen before. A team gets so far back in the standings, they're like, why even try?
Yep.
You just see them dragging ass. You can see it on their face. But they haven't. They absolutely haven't. And I'm kind of got mixed emotions today because, one, as I said, this is the day I realized you got to start paying attention. They deserve our attention. And two, that Craig Breslow, Roman Anthony answer, I hate when management thinks the fans are idiots.
Well, no, I don't even think he thinks they're idiots. I think he knows he can't tell the truth, but he's trying to tell you. He's like Tupac. He's speaking to you as only Breslow can. He's trying to tell you something by not saying it. And that's size of the training room's not big enough. We had to send him to Florida. I know you're not that dumb, so you'll read into this.
He thinks you're an idiot.
No.
Anyone who says the Red Sox don't have a big enough training room for our biggest star,
I know, it
thinks you're an idiot.
No, he's in on the joke in this case.
Stiz, is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard anyone say?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah, I'm with Cotillo. I think there's some sort of punishment.
Yes, we all agree. Yeah, but the question is Breslow, does Breslow think the fans are dumb and is trying to? I think they're actually trying to be. The fact that they would come out and say it was not a tear right from the jump, they were trying to be, you know, press this guy through the media.
Yeah, play that, Stiz. Just play the end of that clip one more time, where he's explaining the second clip, where he's explaining why Roman Anthony was sent down to Florida. Which, once again, Cotillo and Sean McAdam think that the way they talk about it's almost punitive, as if like, hey man, you're not putting the work in here to get all right, or there's shenanigans or something. We're gonna send you to Nairobi. I've always said Florida in the middle of July. Yeah. I mean, like, really, they're gonna send you to the middle of the Sahara. Just so you know, we'll see how you do down there. And it's almost like, you know, you behave yourself and maybe we'll let you back up to Massachusetts where it's wonderful in the spring or in the summer. All right, let me hear this one more time. This is the dumbest answer. He thinks you're so dumb. If you're a Red Sox, he thinks Red Sox fans are so dumb if he can get away with this answer. Let's hear it one more time.
Sure, and I'm glad that you asked me so that I can address this. Roman is in Florida to continue with his treatment. You know, we're constantly trying to balance what is best for Roman with what is best for the 26 guys who, you know, are trying to get ready for a game. And unfortunately, the number of players on the IL has grown, but the size of the training room at Fenway Park has not.
Oh,
and
my God.
He laughed. Kind of Did you hear decided- him laugh?
Oh, my God.
He chuckled. That is
the number of players on the IL has grown, but the size of the training room at Fenway Park has not. And we just kind of decided that, number one, it made sense for Roman to see another hand specialist in Atlanta, and then from there continue with the rehab from from Fort Myers, where we've got, you know, all of the resources and everything that we need.
That is the dumbest. Stop it. He thinks you're an idiot. He thinks Red Sox fans are idiots. Nope. And they hear brilliant. That like, oh, you know what? That's right. I guess that's too small. I mean, you probably only got table one, table two, table two, table one. You can't put more than two on two table. We got three, four, four. Four don't fit on two. Oh, God. There's out of all the things. It's like when Chisholm and Brad Stevens was there, and they were like, it's not about the money, but hey, 70% of the cap. I hate it. There's nothing I hate more than when management think that the fans are idiots.
But in this case, I just think you're misreading it. I think.
Oh, God, am I misreading it? 617-779-7937. That's insulting. That is absolutely insulting.
No, he laughed before you said it. He knows.
I laughed.
Everybody knows.
I laughed. That was me laughing because
I don't think he laughed.
It.
No, so he chuckles. Play it again. Back it up a little bit further when he says,
I can't hear this enough.
Here, okay. right from the beginning of the answer.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, and I'm glad that you asked me so that I can address this. Roman is in Florida to continue with his treatment. You know, we're constantly trying to balance what is best for Roman with what is best for the 26 guys who, you know, are trying to get ready for a game. And unfortunately, the number of players on the IL has grown, but the size of the training room at Fenway Park has not.
He's chuckling to himself. He knows nobody will buy this, but he's throwing it out there because he knows it's going to make Roman look horrible. And that's what they're trying to do.
It already makes Roman look horrible to send him down there. We all know but that is the worst.
Give Breslow some credit, would you? The guy's a genius.
No, I give him no credit.
He's the smartest man in baseball.
I honestly think Chad Tracy was like, you know what? We don't need him around here. He's not doing it. He's not putting in the work.
Of course.
We've got guys who are busting their ass to try to do something. You got dudes like Contreras. We've got guys, you know, like Caleb Durbin, who are doing everything they can to not be embarrassed on a daily basis. And Roman, I don't want Roman Anthony to be anyone near them and infect him with whatever kind of attitude that it seems like he's got.
They deserve credit for that. Good for them. They should do this.
As I said, I give that all the credit to Chad Tracy. I think that is a manager's job to at least inform management that, hey, guys, I think it's just better if he's not with us right now.
And they fired the driveline guy. That could be Tracy also.
That could be. So good for once again, thumbs up to Chad Tracy. Thumbs down for Breslow for the worst answer I've ever heard.
That's a good thumbs up.
but we'll take your calls. 617-779-7937. And you see, you got two beds. Only two beds. You can't put four people on two beds. Only two massage guys. Two massage guys can't do four guys. God, that's so dumb. All right, we'll be right back.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 93.7 WEEI. It is Rich, Ken. Our buddy Ted Johnson is going to be back on Monday. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. This is a Red Sox team that deserves your attention now. I mean, what a great series win. A lot of great stuff going on there. Chad Tracy's proving that he is a good manager. He has taken a team that should have given up, and they are playing their ass off. But the Roman Anthony stuff is driving me crazy, and what's happened with what Breslow said about that. Let's go to line five. What's up, Matthew? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, doing good.
Very good, very good. I was at a game earlier with my uncle. I went to a game on Tuesday, actually, as well, after work. But, man, Davis Martin, y'all took us to town. On Tuesday, that's not usual for him this season, and it was frustrating too. Y'all had the three lefties for each game, and man, I don't know, the Sox just took a sleeping pill or something. But y'all hustle into the All-Star break with something to chew on, and I think the Sox are a better team than that. To be honest with you, the White Sox, that is.
Oh yeah, the Sox were the hottest team in baseball. Yeah, you guys, I think the White Sox won, was it 10 straight home series? And then and then a team that was garbage 2 weeks ago, comes in and just really, dominates. So, yeah, we're a surprise as anybody. Thank you for the call, Matthew. But as I said, it's a team that you have to start paying attention to.
Anybody you fear in the American League? I mean, Tampa, I guess. I was talking to Bradford about that. I mean, they got Caminero and good pitching, but you just swept the Yankees. This Chicago team just went split with Cleveland. I mean,
dude, I still fear everybody. you don't know. You got. I mean, you need a little more of a sample size, but at least you know that they're playing their ass off and they're going to play hard. And there's talent there, and they're finally starting to tap into their talent. I mean, what Caleb Durbin has done has been nothing short of like kind of shocking.
Breslow's guy, give him credit.
It is. Let's go to line one, Jeff. What's happening, Jeff? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jeff.
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, excellent. Good, man. Thanks for calling.
So the whole Anthony thing. You know, I think we threw our, not to date myself with an old referee, but we threw our eggs into one basket that was pretty darn young.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a kid, and we're bringing in his family, and all of a sudden his sister, who's a lovely young lady, is all of a sudden exploding all over the place, and, oh, he's the next big thing, and she's the next big thing. And so much pressure on a kid like that. And I don't know, obviously maybe there's some arrogance.
I mean, Jeff, maybe all I know is that this Sox team does not want him around right now. And that was Chad Tracy. I think that he looked at what was going on with him and going, I've got something good going on. Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam sounded like basically it was a punishment. It was so bad that Breslow had to lie about it and say that there wasn't any room in the training room to have it, which is the worst excuse I've ever heard. Let's go to line four. Mike, what's happening, Mike? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, I got a different take on Breslow's comments. So I'll hang up, but I think they need room for people that can help them win. And his injury, they don't think he can help them win anytime soon, if at all this year.
Oh, can you imagine that if he's out the whole year? So, that'd be incredible.
I mean, first of all, it would be against everything we've been hearing about this injury. Because it sounds to me, according to all the people we've spoken with, including Chad Tracy, is that it's, in so many different words, a pain tolerance issue. You know how many the creative ways people have gotten around saying it's pain tolerance, because the minute you say pain tolerance, it makes the player look bad when he doesn't come back because you think you're dogging it. You think you're being a puss.
Well, and he signed that big contract. You remember Cora, before he got fired, told Rosenthal, said Cora was telling us about how these kind of deals, it changes the game when you have all these players this young under these kind of contracts. And then Cora was like, oh, that got taken out of context. But he was not only given a lot of pressure, but he got a lot of money, and it may have taken off some of the initiative.
It could be. It could be. Let's go to Mark, line two. Mark, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys. My thing is they have an elite rotation right now. They're as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. And the ball players that they have on the team right now, they're trying their rears off. And, you know, as a fan of the team, I appreciate what they're doing. So, you know, I hope they make it still under, you know, still 800, but, you know, I've got a good feeling.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what, Mark? Listen, as I said, today is a good day if you're a Red Sox fan. And you know
five
what?
500, by the way, not 800.
That's right. Yeah, they're 500. But the main thing is that you're seeing a team that's taking themselves seriously. They're winning games against good teams. This isn't just – and you know what? I'd be perfectly fine with them stacking up wins against bad teams, because that's what you should do. You should
right.
be bad.
Yeah, you should sweep the Angels. Like, nobody is going to give you a pat on the back, but you should have done that. But now you beat the White Sox. You know what their playoff percentage is now at Fangraphs?
Oh, boy.
31%.
I mean, listen, what was it 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 20 or 15.
Like,
I mean,
you're right, like 15%, yeah. I would think. But you know what, I just keep coming back to the fact that Tracy's doing a good job. Tracy's doing a really good job, and to be quite honest, if things continue in this direction, you got to start considering him to potentially be your guy.
Well, and you got to give him some help too, right? I mean, you did score just two runs today on one home run, so don't you think he wants a bopper?
Yeah.
Don't you think he wants Breslow to go out and get the next thing for him? Get him a Jeremy Pena watch, somebody that can hit home runs behind Wilson Contreras, who's in the home run derby, if his foot's okay.
Yeah, that would be nice. Listen, as I said, the fact that he's done this with this team, not only talent-wise, but just how he got thrown into it and you know, thrown into the fire and has somehow turned these guys into a team that's trying and playing their ass off, playing their absolute ass off. And you know what? he's done a better job with this team than Cora did this season. Yeah, and now it's like
fact.
Official.
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's now a fact. And you know what? It's not just a fact, but he has taken players that were bad during Cora's time.
His AAA guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they're good players. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I do like what you said about having some of these dudes, you know, coming up from AAA, that he's already got an idea of what they can do, yep. what spots they can put them in. And it seems to have worked. And I like that. And they're playing – the crazy thing about it, too, is that for a while they're playing dumb baseball. They're playing smart baseball now.
Yep. Good defense, smart baseball, bunting. I mean, stealing bases, being aggressive, getting pitch counts up. Bullpen is – Slayton coming back and being – because he was a mess as of like a month ago. But now this is 2 days in a row where he's been lights out. I kind of said early on in the year they have room to trade a reliever and still be okay, but I don't think so anymore. I think they can't touch Contreras, right? I mean – tempting because everybody's going to want Wilson Contreras, but if you're a contender, you got to keep these four guys at the back end.
By the way, France Morocco down at Boston Stadium about to enter minute 90. France up by 2 goals.
You feel good about that? You lost to Philly in the first round, and France has taken over Boston. France won. Yeah.
They were out last night. They were out last night partying on the streets.
Were they?
I'm going to miss the World Cup. I am. I'm really going to miss it. Although I do like the fact that there is one player that I'm a huge fan of now, and that is Norwegian Gronk. And that is Erling Haaland. He's just the best. He's like 6'5". He's like Dolph Lundgren.
He cried, though. He's a little soft. We saw him crying tears of joy, but still.
He's like apparently the nicest guy. He is Norwegian Gronk. You know, Gronk was like a good dude.
Yeah.
He's like, ha-ha. He just like everything makes him happy. He's like happy to be alive. He's good to the fans. Apparently to other like teams, if there's a dude that's upset, he goes up and just like high fives him and gives him. Like he's like a legit good dude, but he's also an effing monster.
Yeah. And they play England. They play England, so everybody's going to be rooting for Norway. That's the Saturday match.
All right. By the way, I'm not the only one who thought that when I saw Erling Haaland that he was Gronk. This is Julian Edelman talking about Erling Haaland, who is the breakout star of this year's World Cup. Let's hear Edelman.
Erling Haaland as the European Gronk is epic. I haven't heard that, but I love it.
First thing I saw when I saw him. And I play FIFA a lot, so like I'm kind of, I know a little bit about these guys. Shout out to FC RWC. That's my club's team. We play FIFA. But yeah, that dude's full European Gronk. It's unreal. He's European Gen Z Gronk. I love him getting on Snapchat after the games and answering fans, doing goofy stuff, putting cowboy boots on. And he's just it's been really fun watching all these guys come in and enjoy the United States.
There's videos of him kicking balls off dudes' faces for goals. Like he's absurd how good this dude is.
And, well, think about not only Mbappe and Harry Kane, but Messi and, as you say, Haaland. There are four like superstars that even if you don't follow soccer, you know how good these guys are.
Yeah, you should be rooting for Norway. Norway should be the team the world should be rooting for. You know, listen, whatever about Messi, he's won enough. In France, no one should root for France ever.
Nope.
And then when
don't
it comes
to Glenn, our video guy, huge France fan.
And you know what? The only reason I don't want to root for England is because I like Scotland so much. So F England. I don't want them to win because that's it would insult to the Scots. So Norway is my team.
I'm with you.
And Erling Haaland, the Norwegian Gronk, you're my guy. All right, everyone. Well, damn, that was fun.
There we go.
That was good.
Ted would have played the Charlie Brown music and mocked us for being overly optimistic.
I had it up. See, I almost did.
You got to get into
even,
it.
I didn't even say anything about them making the playoffs or anything else. All I said is that they now deserve your attention.
Correct.
They have earned it.
Beat
and we
Mets.
Got a good team to talk about now, thank God. Oh, and there's just not enough room in the training room. There's just too many sick people. Not enough beds. All right, everybody, have yourself a fantastic evening. Everybody, enjoy the beautiful weather. Stiz, Jackson, thank you so much. And we will see all of you tomorrow. Everybody, have yourself a wonderful evening. Come on, Morocco. You can do something in your plus 4 minutes that you have left. Let's kick France's ass. Everybody, have yourself a wonderful evening. We will see you again tomorrow. Bye. Goodbye.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.